Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS 104.1 FM, KMOX. Happy Tuesday to everybody. It's going to be a good week. It's going to be a good week.
All right.
It's going to be fine.
All right.
Everyone just settle down.
Okay.
Just relax.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. You were just getting a little out of hand. So Thursday, we are off because of the Cardinals game, but my boss had a great idea. He said, hey, since you're off all day, why don't you do a show for the people? I'm like, F the people. I'm off. So what we're going to do is we're going to record about a one-hour podcast, give or take, and that will be available Thursday. That's for the boys in the truck, whether it's Thursday morning, Thursday afternoon, whatever. And so I would like to solicit from you, probably primarily on the stream, if you go to YouTube or Facebook, and you can send us topics, you can send us questions, they can be existential, they can be about the show. It's just going to be fun, it's going to be a completely fun podcast, no politics, nothing serious, and we can cuss. Steve said, I'm not going to monitor it, just don't spike the ball. I'm like, okay. Fair enough.
Huh. I will be making a commitment not to cuss.
I can't make that
commitment. There's always one of them, isn't there? There's Goody Two Shoes over there.
She makes it sound like it's like a real struggle for her.
Right.
Like it's a real sacrifice.
She's literally such a sailor mouth.
Yeah, Rach walks around here just dropping bombs left and right.
It is more effective when she cusses, though.
Yeah.
It's more rare.
Yeah.
So when she lets go, it's like, oh, damn.
I think in general, they can be very effective.
Oh, yeah.
I know there was a study not long ago that you can search and find it that shows that intelligent people swear more.
Yes. Seen that several times.
And it's not so much that it means that you're smart, it's that you understand the communication, that certain words get a certain reaction.
Yeah.
And when you use them, although you're right, if you use it all the time, it loses its reaction.
My cursing is so ingrained in my speech.
Yeah.
First of all, I can't believe I can do this show. And then secondly, when I curse, it's in my brain, it's not so much for like effect, it's a rhythm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When I'm talking, and I just and it's just like, it's just peppered in there.
Yeah.
That's what's comfortable for me.
Yeah.
My mom taught me that.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, yeah.
Big curse.
Kind of learned some of those lessons from my dad, just like, you know, just like Christmas story we talked about yesterday.
Yeah.
Everybody's dad was that guy.
Yeah.
Except they weren't just the fake noises. They were actual words. But like, I don't know if it's a sports thing, because being in sports, it's what it is.
Yeah.
Probably from the time you're 12 or 13 on.
Oh, when you're learning to cuss, it's hilarious.
Oh, it's the best, and you're doing it wrong.
You must have a great time with your 14.
Oh, my God, it's the best. I will say, like, I don't gratuitously do that stuff around them, but I will, and I will use it selectively. That's where you're going to use it selectively, because sometimes it'll get attention where otherwise attention drifts.
Are they comfortable doing it around
you? Around us, yeah. Yeah, yeah. They don't hold back around coaches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I don't remember ever cursing around a coach. It was a different time.
Yeah, it all depends, too, and it's like it's not always the same ones.
Yeah.
And usually it's like they're mad at themselves. You know, they make an out and they're like.
Yeah. It's fun. Yesterday we were talking about Blazing Saddles in the Sweet 16. And when I saw Blazing Saddles at the drive-in with my mom and dad, and it started off like it starts off. And my mom's like, oh, Jack. And my dad turns around. I'm in the back seat, of course. And he's like, boy, you ever hear that word? The F word?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you said it 8 times on the way here.
I've heard it before.
I have dabbled.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad was not a cursor like me, where it's just a rhythmic way of speech or speaking. He was a...
Angry,
exclamatory.
My dad the same.
If the curse words came out, In fact, I learned this. My mom and dad were not fighters. They didn't fight each other. I rarely saw them have anything at all. But when they would, my mom would just chirp and chirp and chirp and chirp, and my dad would be holding the Alton Telegraph up in front of his face, and then one word would stop it. Horse S. That was his word. He would just lower
That's
his...
the exclamation point.
He would lower the paper, and he'd just yell, horse S! And that was it. My mom stopped. Time to make pork chops. I'm not sure what happened after horse ass one time, but it was like, that was it. Fight was over.
Yeah.
It was nice. I grew up in a house with other things that weren't great, but I didn't grow up with fighting parents.
Yeah.
So that was.
That's definitely good.
Yeah, it's good. It's positive. Although I grew up in a crazy neighborhood. Like, just beer-drinking Hoosiers. Fun. Loved them. Not judging, because I grew up the exact same way, so it's not like I'm better than them, but there was lots of fights.
Mm.
I mean, like, fisticuffs.
Wow.
Yeah. It was crazy. My next-door neighbors were nuts, especially the guy who I loved, and we would have these big, giant block parties, basically. Everyone would just barbecue and share their food, and here's beer, and they would show girly movies when the sun went down, and they would show them in this garage. You know those green-tinted garage doors? And you could look through there, and you could see the girls dancing, like just the shadows. And so we would hide behind the tree, like as 12-year-olds, and just watch the shadows of naked women against the green backdrop and hear the guys in there laughing and drinking beer and raising hell.
Ah.
Yeah.
Little stag party.
Pretty much. Pretty much. Does it sound familiar, Rach?
No. Can't say that I've been in that situation.
Yeah. Universal experience.
Growing up in Grafton, there was no, like...
People were not screening girly movies, no. Hmm.
Yeah, that wasn't happening in ours either.
Wow. I feel so judged.
No, you didn't.
I'm not judging you. I just didn't experience
it. You didn't do it, did you?
No. No. Although we did, in that same garage, it was at like a car mechanic garage, and they had girly calendars.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so we would get on each other's shoulders with a broomstick, because they had it up high, and try to change it to, like, July to see what she had going on. I remember just going ass over tea kettle. And
oh, man.
Bill Harvey running out there and yelling at us, what the hell are you doing?
Get out of there.
Cheese it. It's the cops.
At that time, everything was just run.
Yeah.
No matter what, just run.
It was.
You're like 10 years old. If you're worried, just run.
That's why yesterday when we did this story about the guy that sat on the Swarovski art chair and broke it and ran, and when Andrew said, I'm 100% running, I didn't go after you. I'm like, yeah, me too, probably. Yeah,
I'm not telling anybody that happened, ever.
I'm going to tell you, though, I'm going to know that they have security cameras.
I'm telling Megan it happened after we've already run out of the museum. I'm not telling her because she'll make a big deal out of it. She can't be cool about anything. Whenever she sees, like, if we were to try and, like, sneak into, like, a movie theater or whatever, she'd be like, we can't do this! That's wrong! Or whatever. Like, she can't do anything wrong. And she's constantly outing me when I'm trying to do bad things.
Andrew's dogging on his wife for being honest.
Yes! I'm like, can you not... Can you keep it to yourself until we're in a quieter spot and then we can deliberate?
What's ironic about that is you're my guy for that. How many times have I said over the years, don't rob a bank with Andrew?
Well, no, I wouldn't out you at the time. I would just probably blab about it later.
Yes. Yes.
I don't care if she were to blab about it later, but she gets it in trouble right in the moment.
There's no need to torture. They could give you a stale Ritz cracker and you're telling everything.
Or like if I send her a text, like when we're across the room, if I send a text that's like, hey, can we go? Like, I don't want to be or whatever. She's like, why did you just text me? What did you say? I'm sitting right here. Why are you texting me? And then everybody knows that I'm trying to say something to her. And it's like, come on.
I remember one time. Years and years ago, Rach hadn't been on the show that long, and I forget, it was the three of us, and we were sharing some sort of inside info, and I started blabbing it, and Rach was mad, and she called me Zero Chill.
No Chill Dave.
No Chill Dave. And it really hurt my my feelings because I didn't understand it.
It hurts my feelings when you have no chill.
I didn't understand it. And then when I did, I was like, oh. Yes, yes. My chill is zero.
Is limited.
James says prayers for healing.
Yeah, I was wondering about
I
that.
I think that's okay. I think somebody's commenting on the wrong thing on their Facebook.
Yeah. Then maybe he meant the curse.
But James, we appreciate it and we wish you well.
Those comments tend to be Facebook comments, and I wonder if somebody's just scrolling on there and they hit the wrong one.
Okay.
Because that one doesn't fit the context of girly movies and such.
Well, otherwise, they just took a look at the four of us and was like, they need prayer.
Yeah, that could be.
Healing. Prayers for healing.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
Andrew, it is so dark in your room.
Yeah.
Oh, my
God. Andrew looks like a person that's doing the interview in shadow on a 60 Minutes episode.
He's gonna modulate his voice.
Andrew's going to be like, well, when we broke through the bank wall.
Let's see.
Is your light on?
No, it's not plugged in. Let me see if I can.
Well, and then the back somebody light
took the,
is just.
Yeah, somebody took the plug is the problem to this thing. So.
Well, it's fine.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
You just look mysterious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll try and get some better light in here.
I have so many topics.
Don't wait for it.
I don't even want to do lives. I just want to talk about my
topic.
Stuff.
We have some
topics. We got time. It's only 1:17.
Okay.
Steve's so mad if he heard me say that.
You know, he'd be like, get to break.
You know how, like, you can do anything you want in your life. It's all out there for you. And I was thinking about that last night. And you know what struck me? And I'm not going to do this. It's just a thought experiment. I hope you get it. But I thought, I could start smoking.
You could.
I've never smoked a cigarette in my life. I could end my life as a smoker. I got 25 years left. I could really blacken those lungs up. Mm-hmm. Like, I could just, that could be my thing. I'm the smoking guy. The Marlboro man. And I knew as I was thinking it, I'm not going to do it because I find smoking sort of gross. But, like, you ever do that? Like, I could move to France. I could move to Japan. There are reasons not to, but I could.
Yeah, I've had the same thought with the smoking. Because there are times where, like,
it looks so good.
It looks so good. It seems like it'd be so nice to just have yourself a little cigarette.
Just
like,
relax.
You could just start doing that.
But yeah, you could.
But then I talk myself out of it.
The thing is, that really gets you. Because I didn't, like, smoke in college, but I would join my friends if they were or whatever. Is that you go to like a gas station and you see that it's like, you know, $18 for a pack of smokes or whatever. And you're like, okay, nope, never mind. Not happening.
It is expensive.
Not happening.
Well, maybe we can smoke together sometime.
Yeah, we can go in together and buy a pack.
Yeah.
Keep costs down.
Sit outside and cough the whole time.
We'll get caught by Steve. What are you doing? Nothing. I caught Dave and Rachel smoking. Smoking.
Yeah, what if we did? What if we just started smoking out there and all the smokers would be like, you can't hang out with us.
Yeah, no, I don't think they'd be like excited to have you.
No.
They'd be like, what are you doing?
And we'd do it all bad. I'd hold it like I'm holding a joint, you know, like I wouldn't know what to do.
No, that's the cool way to hold it. You hold it between the thumb and the forefinger. That's like a cool way to.
Maybe like a long cigarette holder, like FDR.
There you go.
Oh, like the
now
penguin.
We're talking.
Like the penguin.
Yeah,
well, they're the same character.
Like the penguin.
Audrey Hepburn in Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Dave's like, let me put on my long white gloves. It's time to smoke.
My tiara.
That is the sexiest thing. Like, I was born too late. Like, I love the look of the 40s, men and women. But, like, women in a cocktail dress with long gloves smoking. That's just it.
It is nice.
Letting out a little too much about myself, aren't I?
I mean, no, fine.
So as we said, we're going to record a podcast to play Thursday, looking for you guys to give us topics and or questions on the stream. So we'll jot them down as you throw them out. 124 DGS and KMOX. Pre-day, I opened my mom's estate at the bank across the street from our office, so Rach was kind enough to walk over with me today. It's hot.
It's hot, and there's chicken bones all over the
Everywhere.
Sidewalk all the time.
What? Yes.
It's the perils of working above KFC.
Oh, yeah.
People
yeah.
get their chicken, and then they eat it, and then they just toss it onto the sidewalk, and it's like, well, there's another
it's
chicken bone.
It's just all chicken bones.
I bet we could find 15 if we went out there right now. I'm not exaggerating.
Easy. That's true.
Any given day,
yeah,
come down to the sidewalk and do a little chicken bone scavenger hunt. You mm-hmm. will find plenty.
Yeah. And I didn't really clock it. I've been walking over chicken bones so many years now. But like even on the stairs, like there are stairs going up to our office, and it's like there's a chicken bone per flight.
Yeah.
Every time. Just sitting on a stair.
Man.
It's just fun to picture people like finishing the wing or whatever they're eating and just like boop.
Yeah, and just kind of over the shoulder.
Yeah. Like Johnny Appleseed.
Gonna grow some more chickens. I was obsessed with Johnny Appleseed.
Yeah, me too.
Dude, when I heard that story and all the kids are just grab-assing, and I'm like, shh, 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 Johnny Appleseed.
Well, that was my preferred snack as a child, was just a nice apple.
As a child?
Yes.
Or just like all the time, forever?
Well, currently still, I do like to enjoy a nice apple, but just the thought of like, man, he's playing them all over this beautiful country. It's wonderful.
He wasn't real, though.
He was based on a real guy.
Just a guy who was real into apples?
Yeah, a guy that walked across the country planting apple trees.
Wow, okay.
And I think he really did wear a pan for a hat, so.
Takes all kinds, I guess.
I don't know what you're talking
You've
about.
You've never heard of Johnny Appleseed?
You've never heard of Johnny Appleseed? Get out of here.
I have heard of Johnny Appleseed. I do not know the story.
If it was Johnny Baseball Seed, you wouldn't shut up about it.
You're right. I don't care about no stinking
Appleseed.
They say
he founded the double steel. So.
Oh, well, in that case.
Yeah, no, Johnny Appleseed. He was huge in our childhood.
Like, I heard about him like once a month at least.
He must be like central to Illinois education. The three of us are so fixated on him.
He's got his own part in the curriculum.
But I have no idea what Johnny Appleseed allegedly did or did not do.
He gets credited for planting most of the apple trees in a certain segment of the country. I'm thinking like Pennsylvania. And he wore a pan for a hat, like a pot on his head.
Yep.
And what else did he do? Was he known for something else?
I remember him having a satchel.
Yeah.
Upon which he kept his seeds.
I was getting him confused with the Pied Piper who stole children.
I don't think he did that.
So
I don't think he stole any children. I don't think he was Johnny Appleseed and child kidnapper.
I just Googled this, and I cannot watch the video because we're on the air, but the headline for this YouTube video is Johnny Appleseed was real and weirder than you might think.
Nice.
Now I need to know the story.
Yeah.
Well, I already thought he was pretty weird.
Apparently his name was John Chapman.
Okay.
And he planted apple orchards across the American frontier.
There you go. Wonder what he got out of it.
I think just love of the game.
Yeah, he just enjoyed spreading cheer through his seeds.
Dedication to his apples.
And taking children.
And also he led children to their demise at the hands
Some
of, I think,
say,
fairies?
You know, we're just repeating what we've heard here, all right?
Wait, for reals?
No, that's the Pied Piper.
Wait, that's what? He cousin. Led children?
Dude, what did you do the Pied Piper?
Have you never heard? Did you just leading, never hear anything?
I thought the Pied Piper was just leading rats out of the city.
Yeah, but then they didn't pay him for removing the rats, so he took children.
Next, he took the kids out of the city.
I did not know that.
You did not pay attention.
And he had apple seeds, and he had a big blue ox.
Okay. Wait, I thought that was Paul Bunyan.
No,
yeah,
you're wrong.
All same guy.
Paul Bunyan had the ox. I know that.
Paul Bunyan is another name for Johnny Appleseed, who also went by the Pied Piper.
Okay.
Keep up, Wheels.
Not that hard.
Come on.
I understand
This is American history.
Welcome back, guys.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Time to talk to our pal Ricky Horton. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Dave. How are you? Seems like we just chatted just a few days ago, didn't we?
Yeah, it does. Doing well.
I love it.
Everything's good. How was Father's Day?
Oh, Father's Day was really good. My wife packed a little present for me in my bag, unknowingly. So that was kind of a nice thing, and nice to chat with our kids. I mean, I'm used to talking to them traveling and was able to talk to both the kids during the day, which was nice.
Very nice. Excellent. Okay. So I was saying to Wheels, being the guy that doesn't know what I'm talking about, but it feels a lot like by the time we finish the Cubs series, it ain't over, good or bad, but we're going to know a whole lot by then.
Yeah. I mean, we got the White Sox here in Chicago first, but then when we get the Cubs at home, and then, you know, the Reds, I mean, we're playing division games now. I felt like things got ramped up a little bit in Milwaukee playing against them. And of course, Cardinals only able to win one out of four. They were in two of the losses, but, you know, didn't pull it out. But the point is, you know, there was some amped up emotions and kind of felt like, okay, this is the season now. The other games count, of course, on the schedule. But I do think in the next couple of weeks that we're going to get a real look at kind of what needs to get better and what we need to do going forward.
Ricky, before we get into anything else, I'm just really interested in your take on the Contreras kerfuffle with the incident at first base and the intentional hit and him handing him the ball. And what did you make of all that as a pitcher?
So kerfuffle is one of my favorite words. Can we start with that? I love that word. I'm so glad you said that word. So the funniest part of that kerfuffle was him handing the ball to his ex battery mate with the Cubs. They played with the Cubs together for years. They're good friends. I mean, they're from different places. Quintana is not from Venezuela. But they're still buddies. And so the two of them having that little thing on the mound was very unique and fun. I think there's a little backstory to it that I'm not really familiar with, but I feel like, you know, Contreras should not, I mean, you can't have your leg in the lane. That's for sure. Now, whether, you know, he was trying to make a point or not, I don't know, but, you know, he certainly is not afraid to challenge an entire team from the field. And that, you know, I do like his fire. I will say that, but I do also understand why the Brewers were not happy about it.
It's fascinating to me, Rick, and you know the way the game is run is different now than it was even 15 years ago as far as what liberties they give to teams to enforce these things. I was a little surprised, given that Quintana wasn't thrown out. 15 years ago, there would be no conversation about it, but we know baseball has kind of given the umpires the leeway where if they think it was intentional, there doesn't have to be warnings or anything. They can let somebody go, and that was clearly intentional.
Well, it's funny that, and John Rooney talked about this on the air, you know, a couple of years ago, maybe even last year, Miles Michaelis hit somebody first inning and got tossed, and he, like, just fired a nice, easy, fast. I mean, it was not even, you know, it wasn't, like, up at the head, but it was clearly he was doing it, and there was a retaliatory reason, which escapes my mind right now. But he got thrown out right away, which we questioned. It's like, just let them figure it out themselves. And the umpires got on, John and I. We heard from umpires and said, no. Look, we have to do it this way.
Right.
Well, apparently they don't, or they no longer do. I mean, it's like, so, you know, it's like it's true until it isn't, one of my favorite lines. So, I mean, it's true until it isn't, and it wasn't apparently that day. Although, frankly, from the Cardinals' point of view, it was better that Quintana stayed in to give up the home run to Nolan Gorman. So it all worked out. And no one, I don't think anybody was really, the way Quintana did it, he's such a pro. Yeah, I mean, honestly, there's a way to do it. That's right, and he did it right.
Yes, he did not do anything dangerous. And
no, he did not.
And that also makes it all the more obvious that it was on purpose.
That's right. Yeah, there's a guy that can throw a ball from 60 feet within a 3-inch diameter spot, and yet he that diameter spot happened to be the ribs of Contreras.
He looked to me like he didn't even want to do it. Like when my dad used to spank me when he got home from work, and my mom told him to.
It's like, I have to.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So I had a moment back in the day that there was a kerfluffle, there's that word again, in Chicago, right here in Chicago with the Cubs. And I had a coach come up to me after I was going into the game, and there was an incident on the field. And our coach, all he said to me is, you know what to do, right? And I said, yes. And that was it. That, I mean, he didn't tell me to do it. He didn't. I mean, he just said, you understand what's going on? Yep. I said, okay. So we just knew, and I threw one. Inside, I didn't hit the guy, but I knocked him down for sure. And, you know, it was an answer to something that he'd done the inning before. And, you know, we just kind of moved on from there. It's just kind of the way baseball is.
Did anyone ever rush your mound?
No, he was the closest. I actually got him out on the next pitch on a changeup, which made him even madder. He popped out that Tommy Herr, he ran right by the mound. And he's saying words to me that, well, I can't repeat, but just yelling at me. as he's running towards their dugout. And Terry Pendleton yelled to him, "There he is, go get him." Which I'm thinking, Terry, don't do that.
Shut up, Terry.
Shut up. Hey, Terry, I love you, but.
But the hidden message is either shut up or do something, right?
Exactly. And I've actually told that story. The guy who I was throwing, I threw one intentionally inside to was Larry Boa, who's a pretty feisty dude.
He is, yeah.
And I've told him that story after the fact, and I don't think he found it real amusing, but I mean, it was to me anyway.
I think, Rick, I think you'd have had a chance against Larry.
Yeah.
I don't.
He was a little crazy.
I am stronger now than when I was 25 years old by a long shot because we didn't lift weights. I'm telling you, I could not have bench pressed half of me back then. I mean, I threw hard enough with my body type, but I did not have muscle upon muscle. So I did run a lot, so I might have taken off to get right behind somebody big.
Like running past Terry, right?
Right, exactly.
Rick, you have brought up an era that I was so into Cardinal baseball, your era. What was Pendleton and her, what were they like just being teammates?
Well, they were neighbors, first of all, both of them. We all lived in the same neighborhood. Tito Landrum was there. Andy Van Slyke was there. We had a bunch of guys within a stone's throw of each other. And Terry was a dear friend. I mean, Terry still is a dear friend. Terry and Kathy would be at our place all the time. And, I think, you know, they were there right after our first daughter was born. And Terry was as likable a guy as you could possibly be. You know, Tommy Herr is more quiet, but he was kind of like the E.F. Hutton. When he said something, you'd pay attention. And Tom used to have meetings at the end of kind of impromptu meetings at a table after every game. We actually had a beer in our clubhouse, which is not a great idea, but we had it back then. But the brewery owned the team, and there was a keg in our clubhouse, and we would sit around and talk about the game. And Tom typically would lead that discussion because he knew the game better than anybody on that team.
See, I love that. I understand. Addiction issues. I understand everyone's different.
Driving home.
Yeah. I get it. But there's something so very baseball about that.
There was something very baseball about that, including the fact that our wives were in the waiting room with our, you know, with our little kids, waiting for us to finish that conversation many nights. And that wasn't always the best of thing, but you know, we gave them the opportunity to drive home, so that was all good.
You guys are like, it's just work. We're just working.
It's just work. And actually, they understood it, and they knew that it was good for us.
Yeah.
You know, it's better than us debriefing with them in the car because they don't, you know, Ann didn't want to hear about, you know, this play or that play. I mean, she's very supportive of my career and has been throughout, even in the broadcasting career as well. But you know, the details, you know, you need to work that out with your boys.
Was that the era, Rick? I'm sure you didn't do it, but was that the era when everyone was going out after away games?
There was a lot of that. There's no question. And you know, there was the old saying that the guys used to say, you know, you can sleep when you're dead, or you can sleep. the corollary was you sleep in the off season, not during the season. But then there would be the mitigating comment that people would say of pick your spots. I mean, that was a great saying that Bruce Sutter used to say is, you know, look, understand you're a pro and you got to be ready to go. So don't be going out the day before, a day game in Chicago. That's a bad idea. But if it's an off day, I mean, whatever, then sometimes you got to let off some steam. So guys would come out, go out more. There was definitely more like drinking, especially on the plane, which, you know, not a great thing, but that's the way it was.
It's interesting you say that. I just read something or saw a TikTok, and I can't pull out of my brain who it was. It could have been a Cardinal, but a veteran player currently talking about how he has taken the younger kids under his wing. And he takes them out to dinner, and he teaches them how to be a pro. He bought them all suits, and he said, I did that. Maybe this will help you figure out who it is, because when I was in Texas, that's what they did for me. I thought that was
interesting.
Really interesting how you pass that down.
Well, that is the way, it is the way it should be, and it was that way with me. And you know, I tell the story all the time. Bob Forsch told us you never reach in your wallet anywhere. If there's a veteran around, we're going to take care of you, and that's kind of just you do that for somebody else. And so I think one thing that you know is a little and it's missing a little bit today. It's just harder work to do that because there are less veterans than there used to be, the way the economics of the game are.
Interesting.
The longer you play, the more costly you are. So they, and the costs are so high from a club's point of view, they don't want a veteran making $15 million playing once a week. They just don't want that. So so they're going to get a younger guy, and he's going to be the bench player, and they're going to take a flyer on kind of a journeyman player just because of, again, the economics. So you don't have the guy that's a 10-year, as many 10-year veterans. I think we had at least 8 to 10 10-year veterans on those teams in the early 80s.
One last baseball question, Rick. I know that we all know and talk about that we need to win the White Sox series. We need to win the series against the Reds. Yeah. It'd be nice to sweep one of those. But as a player, as a coach, do they even talk like that?
Yeah, no, they can't. They can't because I agree with you. I feel like, boy, 2 out of 3 is a must with both series. I mean, I kind of feel that way. But so once you start thinking about like a week-long context of playing, players start to think about outcome and not process. And I know we talk about process all the time, but you cannot think about outcome when you compete. You know, we talk about that with certain players. Like they start to think about the outcome of pitcher. Say he's just kind of moving along in a game, and then he starts to think, "Ooh, one more inning and I get a win," or "One more inning and I'm done." Once you get to outcome thoughts, you usually self-destruct, unfortunately, because you lose that competitive focus that you need to have. So they won't talk about that with players. They'll just talk about, you know, pounding the baseball today and getting people out today and then worry about tomorrow.
Very interesting. Ricky, have a great series. We thank you.
All right, guys. Along the way, hoping to find some old forgotten words or reaching out.
Now just what am I supposed to do? Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Welcome back, DGS on KMOX. Have a cool segment coming up at the top of the hour. Make sure you stick with us. We have Sandy and Linda, who served our country back in the 1960s and recently took an all-female honor flight. And they're going to be here to talk about their service and their lives and what it's all meant. And I just met them, and they're delightful.
That's going to be awesome.
Good deal.
Yes, that's coming up at the top of the hour. We have an issue dividing the internet. They're always so stupid, but I always have an opinion on them. So, man and wife are going on a trip. The man has business in, let's call it Baltimore, and he is staying at an Airbnb for a week doing business. His wife shows up on Saturday, and they're going to a hotel together to spend a nice romantic weekend. So, she wants him to pick her up at the airport. He says, "I'm at the hotel. Why don't you just Uber to the hotel? Otherwise, I'm going to have to," because he didn't have his car, "I'm going to have to Uber to pick you up at the airport, get out, let the Uber go, call another Uber, get you, and go to the hotel where I'm already sitting." And she got pissed and says, basically, like, maybe the whole weekend should be off, because if you can't even pick your wife up from the airport. He's like, no, honey. I'm just saying it's one trip instead of two, and we're going to spend the whole weekend together. It's going to be great. What do you think? The internet's like on 50-50 on both sides.
I think he's providing a ride for her, which is nice. I don't understand why he needs to ride in the Uber with her. That seems like you're a baby and you can't ride in a car by yourself. I mean, sorry.
No, you're not wrong.
To be callous, but it's like, just get an Uber. He's sending you an Uber. That's nice. Why does he have to Uber both ways? That's a little silly.
Yeah, I didn't get the impression that they were older. I understand if you're older and you've never Ubered. Okay, I'm going to pick you up in an Uber. I'll walk you through this. But I get the idea they're like in their 40s. So,
yeah, like I understand why she would want that and would think it was cute or whatever. But also, like, you know, just it's a waste of money. It's a waste of time. It's, you know, Unless it's like a 3-hour Uber ride, you're going to, it's a difference of whether or not, you know, he romantically picks you up at the airport and then the 10-minute Uber ride, which, I mean, those are awkward enough as it is.
I wonder if the men out there in the audience are just like, just pick her up.
It's all about the details, though. Like, how far is the airport from the hotel?
Not far.
Like, if it's 10 minutes, why wouldn't you just do the 10-minute ride each way? Like, big deal. If you know it means something to her. Now, if it's a 45-minute ride and it's literally twice the expense on a 45-minute ride, well, you know, then that's a little sillier. I mean, the devil's in the details, right? If it's just going to cost you 20 minutes and you know it makes her happy, what's the big problem? But if it's a massive thing, like, okay, now I'm going to spend an hour and a half in the car, 45 minutes each way, and double the Uber price for that, well, that's pretty unreasonable. Like, isn't that kind of the reasonableness of it is about the distance and time and what's actually being asked.
Yeah, it just feels like sometimes we get fixated on things like, I need my spouse to do this to me, for me, because it proves that they feel this way. It feels like she has a lot riding on this, that it's like, it's not that deep. It's just more convenient to do it the other way.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.